really encouraging to have Bessueri and Meredith with us this morning. It kind of just worked out sort of last minute. Just last few weeks that they were going to be in the States and that they would be here this week and they could come by. And so we're so thankful y'all are here. It's always a great encouragement for me to hear from B-Dubs and to hear about what God's doing there. It's an encouragement to me to think about how somehow we're encouraging them there, but we're being encouraged here as the missionaries who God has planted in Augusta. So thank you for coming. Thank you for sharing with us. I really just want to encourage, Ashley's going to say a little bit more at the end, but I just want to encourage y'all to, you know, meet Bessueri and Meredith before you go. Grab their hand, give them a hug, whatever, get to know them. Learn how you can pray for them, learn how we can continue to support them. So I'm going to pray for us, and then we are going to jump into the book of John just for a few moments and look back over chapter 20. Let's pray together. Our Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm thankful for this day. I'm thankful for exactly what you've given us today. I'm thankful for this group of people who you've brought together this morning to glorify Jesus amongst us and in us and through us. And Lord, I pray that over the next few minutes and all that we do over this time together this morning, that's it, that we would know Jesus and that we'd be transformed, that we would be reminded of the new life that we have because of the resurrection of Christ. Lord, I pray that you speak to each one of us and that you say what you want to have said in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So last Sunday was Easter. If you were here, you know we kind of had like a big party together. We ate brunch out on the porch together. We had, like, the kids were coloring all over the sidewalk, and the city came and pressure washed it off this week. We had a photo booth set up out in the median. The flowers were blooming. It was a nice day. We came inside. We sang together. We read through the story of Jesus' resurrection from John's gospel together. Like, some of you even came up and read parts of it. Some of our kids read parts of it together, recited parts of it together. And generally, it was just a really good time of celebrating Jesus together. It was fun. It was good. It was pretty easy to be a part of, I hope, which was a really nice thing to me, so that we could kind of include everybody in the church in it, including our kids and first-time guests, and everybody is just really able to be included. But this week, I just want to take a few minutes to revisit John's account of the resurrection of Jesus, just that story we just read through and celebrated last week. And I just want to give us a moment this morning just to digest what happened there just a little more, because we've kind of like spent so much time going through the book of John, right? Going all the way up through chapter 19, and then we just kind of read it together last week. And so I just want to be able to spend a moment there and talk a little bit about what happened in John 20. I'm not going to read all the way back through John 20 this morning, but as you may recall from the readings of last week, you kind of know the story. It goes like this. On the third day after Jesus was crucified, early in the morning, Mary Magdalene came to Jesus' tomb only to find that Jesus was not there. And so she ran and she told Peter and she told John. And then there's like this foot race back to the tomb between Peter and John. And John doesn't go in when he gets there. He makes sure we know he got there first. But then Peter catches up, and Peter just like rushes right in, and he goes into the tomb, only to find that Jesus is not there, and that his clothes were like lying there, and the cloth that had been seen, like that was placed over his face, was folded, and it was laid to the side. And then John goes in after Peter. In John 20, verse 8, it says this, that when John went in, he saw and believed. He saw and believed. Then after this, the two disciples, they left and they went home. But Mary was there with them and she stayed. And she was weeping outside the tomb. And then she like stooped to look into the tomb and she saw two angels who asked her why she was crying. She saw two angels. I know that's just like a side note here. That's kind of a big deal. But they asked what she was crying for. She explained that she was looking for her Lord. And then she turned around and Jesus was there, but she didn't recognize that it was Jesus. And he asked who she's looking for. And then he says her name. Mary. And she recognizes Jesus. And she's filled with joy. She goes again to the disciples, and this time she's sent by Jesus with this news. She goes exclaiming, John 20, verse 18, it says this, as she went to the disciples and said, I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord. And then that night, as the disciples were gathered behind locked doors, Jesus like walked in somehow among them, and they see his hands, and they see his side where he was pierced. And John says that Thomas wasn't there, and so then all the other disciples went and they said to Thomas, John 20, verse 25, we have seen the Lord. It's the same thing Mary said. We have seen the Lord. But Thomas doesn't believe them, right? He famously has this declaration, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, unless I place my finger into the marks of the nails and place my hands into his side, I will never believe. And then 8 days later, Jesus comes to Thomas and he says in John 20, verse 27, listen to this. He says, put your fingers here, see my hands, put your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve. Believe. And Thomas reacts saying, my Lord and my God. So Mary saw Jesus. The disciples saw Jesus. Thomas saw Jesus, and they believed. Jesus was seen, and they believed. But the question that I just want us to just take in for a moment this morning is, what did they believe? Like, was it just that if they had not seen Jesus, then they would not believe that he had risen from the dead? Right? I mean, they probably wouldn't have believed it if they hadn't seen it. But is that what John's getting at when he says that they believed? I think there's more to it than that. Because when John followed Peter in the tomb, he actually didn't see Jesus there. He saw that he was gone. He saw that Jesus wasn't there and that his clothes and his face cloths were like arranged in a certain way. And it seems that like even not seeing Jesus in that moment, seeing that he wasn't there, there's some sort of belief that started to like dawn on him in that moment. John 20, verse 8 through 9, it says this, then the other disciple, that's John, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and he believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Right? Jesus must rise from the dead to fulfill the scriptures, to fulfill the promises of God. This is how sin is vanquished. Right? This is how we are redeemed and restored. This is how all things are going to be made new. And I don't know totally like what John got in the moment there, but it seems like he began to believe that Jesus was risen, that he was risen indeed, and that there were more implications if that was true. But then there's Thomas's response also, his response to touching Jesus' scars. His reaction is, my Lord and my God. So I think we ask, like, what did Thomas come to believe? It wasn't just that this is truly Jesus standing there in front of him. I mean, that's obviously like a really huge, big deal. But what did he believe? Like, once believing that Jesus is truly alive, Thomas professes him to be his Lord and his God. So we see that for Thomas, like if Jesus is really alive, then this is God with us. This is eternal life. And Jesus is all he ever said he was and more than they ever really truly had understood. He's God and he has truly come to save. Like this is a new kind of belief for Thomas, right? It's a new belief that filled Thomas. It's not just Jesus is alive. It's something more than that. And if we take a closer look at what Jesus said to the disciples when they saw him, like just before Jesus showed himself to Thomas, we just see this again. Jesus shows them his hands and his side, but doesn't just call them to now believe that he's risen from the grave, right? He calls them to believe that because he has risen from the grave, everything has changed. It's not just that he's risen, it's if he's risen from the grave, then everything has changed. John 20, 21 through 23. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, "Even so, I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." So what's the big thing to believe here? He's alive. They're looking at him. It isn't just that they have to believe. He says he's sending them. We can kind of get hung up on the sending. There's something important in the sending, but there's even more. What did he come offering? What is he sending them with? He brings peace. His first words were, "Peace be with you." And he's sending them with like forgiveness to give away by the Holy Spirit. Peace be with you. There's a lot kind of like wrapped up in that, right? Peace means that sin is forgiven. Like union with God in Christ is possible. Union with one another even in Christ is possible. Because sin is forgiven, the wrongs that like keep us separated from God have been paid for. So we have peace with God and we have peace from Him to be able to give away peace to others. We have so much forgiveness in Jesus that even with all the many ways that we have ever failed Him, all the many ways that we still will fail Him, and all the like future forgiveness that we might need to ask for, even with all of that, we have enough forgiveness left over to freely give to others so that we can be one in Christ. I mean, really, that's too like awesome to wrap our words around. But this is what they believed when they saw Jesus. Not just that he was alive, but that everything had changed. The miraculous peace of Christ was theirs. The scriptures are being fulfilled. God's promises have been proven good. Sin is forgiven. Union with God and Christ has come, which is life for us. Eternal and abundant life. Everything has changed. Now, after all of this, after they had seen and believed and Thomas proclaimed Jesus as his Lord and his God, Jesus tells Thomas this. It's chapter 20, verse 29. "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Blessed are those who, without seeing, have believed. That's us. Like, we have not seen. Blessed are we who still believe. But I think, again, the question is, what is it that we're being asked to believe? We are not just being called to believe that Jesus historically rose from the dead. Rather, in coming to believe that that is true, we've also then come to believe that because Jesus Christ has risen again, because Jesus lives, it can only mean one thing. And that means everything has changed for us. He brings peace. He promises life eternal, and he sends us with forgiveness. And life looks different when we believe these things. It looks like a life lived under the lordship of a forgiving God. It looks like living under a new kind of kingdom, a kingdom of forgiveness, a kingdom of peace. Like I said, last week was a big celebration, not just here, but everywhere. We had a great time here celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. But the call of the resurrection of Jesus isn't only to celebrate, though celebrate we should. But it's also to like live rooted in the reality which his resurrection announces. It's to have peace with us. It's to be living in the knowledge, that means like to be living in the knowledge of his glorious grace and his mercy at all times, like knowing that he's king and that our sins are forgiven, and in his kingdom we have forgiveness to give generously. I think that this is the point where we might be able to walk away. Like we could go, that's it. We should have that. We should just stay aware of it. And we are sent to go and forgive other people. And so we leave like committed to believe better and at all times act as the sent ones, ready to take forgiveness to the world and like achieve unity. But there's still one more thing, and it's really good news. Because I think though we could walk away like with the best of intentions, our abilities will fall short eventually, right? Like we're forgetful people. We might not even make it out this door before we forget. And we'll forget the forgiveness we're given. We'll act as unforgiven people. We'll become lord of ourselves again, and we won't achieve what we might hope for in the moment. But the good news here is that we're not left to ourselves. And Jesus, like, he didn't die and rise again just to motivate us to some action for change. He died and rose again to truly accomplish peace between us and God so that he could dwell with us now and at all times for eternity. This is life for us. Jesus rose from the dead. He showed himself to his disciples, and then he breathed on them and told them to receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus breathed on the disciples and told them to receive the Holy Spirit, and then he sent them with forgiveness to give away. The good news is that the Holy Spirit is with us. He's always pointing us back to Christ and reminding us when we're forgetting, reminding us of the great love of Jesus, convicting us of our sin, making that known to us, then reminding us again of the great forgiveness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's giving us eyes to see the way that Jesus does. He's prompting us to generosity and to peace with others. He's the new life that is given to us. And so, this morning, simply, I just want us to remember the resurrection of Jesus and consider what it's all about. Like, what is it that we all celebrated last week exactly? How does it impact more than just a party? How does it impact today? How does it impact your everyday? Like, upon seeing Jesus alive, Thomas called Jesus his Lord and his God. And Jesus responded saying, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And the question is what have you believed? So we're going to move in just to a time of response. And as we do that, I'm just going to give us a few moments and ask you to spend a few moments in prayer. Just be reminded, we have been given new life in the Spirit. Life that's rooted in the person and work of Jesus. Let's be reminded of the peace that Jesus has brought us to live under day by day, that there's a new belief that we live in a new kingdom with a new kind of way of living. Let's be reminded by the Holy Spirit that we are sent ones. We are carriers of forgiveness of Jesus to one another and to the world. And like B-Dub said, like, this is the commission. Yes, we're sent ones. We want to go out and make Jesus known. We want others to become worshipers of Jesus. But we're not just sent to go tell people what to do. We're being enabled to be changed and be worshipers of Jesus who can't help but make Jesus known to others and make worshipers of Jesus in that way. I'm going to pray for us. I'm just going to give you a few moments to respond prayerfully. And the band's going to come and they're going to lead us in a time of worship. And then we'll come as we do each week. And you can come when you're ready. And we'll come down this middle aisle, and you can take a piece of bread, you can dip it in the wine or the juice, which of course represents the body and the blood of Jesus that was given for us. And when we do this each week, we are just remembering that Jesus is who he says he is, right? That he's done what he said he would do, that he truly died for our sins, that he truly made peace for us, and that he took up his life again so that we might live in him. He's made peace for us, between us and God. He's made peace between us. He's made us into a family in Christ. And so we're remembering all this good news, and then we're proclaiming it to one another. And so if you're a Christian, whether you're a member here at Redemption Church or not, we just invite you to come and remember and proclaim our Lord together through this. I'm going to pray for us, and we will move into that time. Our Father, as we come and take communion together this morning, Lord, I just pray that you would remind us of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, our Lord and our God. Help us to believe that you rose from the grave, that Jesus is alive. Holy Spirit, be moving in us to believe that truth. But even more so, in believing that truth, help us to believe that you have made peace and that you have given it to us and that you have given us the Holy Spirit and that we have new life because of this. That you've made a way for us to dwell with one another, that you've made a way for us to be in relationship with God. That you've given us all the forgiveness that we need. And not just that, you've given us forgiveness to give away. We'd be reminded even in the peace that you've made for us with one another, in that we can forgive because we're forgiven. We can forgive. And it's a miraculous thing that happens when we can forgive with your mercy and your grace. I pray that you are made known in all that we do here. I pray that we don't just sing a song about wanting the Holy Spirit's presence in this place, like and just take that as like a moment to sing that. We want to be filled up with the Holy Spirit so that we are always knowing and always seeing who Jesus is and who we are to him, what he's done, and that's informing like everything for us. We want to continue to be transformed by the Holy Spirit so that Christ is glorified in us inside and out. This is life for us. May we experience that. May Jesus be made known. In Jesus' name, amen.